that you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome. Through the valley of the shadow, I will not fear.
Choir, thank you very much for sharing that song with us. Very special. We moved to that time of our service where we have our prayer time together. And really the only prayer request that needs to come before us, besides those that are on our list, of course, is the Putman family and the loss of their grandson here. I think we announced that last Sunday, but that continues to be a very difficult time for them. And so those of you who knew Jerry and Becky, you'll want to keep them in your prayers as we have this time of prayer. Oh, I was wanting to tell you that this might interest some of you. I was able to have a really nice visit with Gene Hildinger, and he's very gracious man. He was what everybody has told me about him, and he was very excited to have the opportunity to be reconnected with St. Philip's, since he lives out in Rockwall, I guess. Is that Rockwall or Heath? It's kind of a close one, yeah. And so he asked about all the folks here at the church and how everything was doing. And then he put me in a difficult position. He said, "Is my son going to church?" He may be going to a church. I'm not sure. This church. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you. Let us be in the spirit of prayer. Heavenly Father, parent of all your children, we'll begin our prayer today with words of praise for all your gracious gifts. For guiding us and embracing us, we are grateful. For caring for us and protecting us, we are thankful. Lead us to share your grace with others. We have family, friends, and neighbors who may feel unwanted. Some are lonely. Some are depressed. Some sit in empty rooms desperately in need of good news. May our witness to your grace provide hope in the hearts of others. Help us to shine as bright lights as we share your gospel message in a world that is often hurting. Lastly, we pray for all those on our prayer list this morning. While we may not recognize all the names before us, nevertheless, these persons have been highlighted because of a need. We raise our prayers up for the Putman family and as they go through a very difficult time in their lives. So may our prayers be a source of comfort and healing to those who struggle with personal issues. We offer these words in the name of Jesus, who taught us a prayer to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Let's pray. Father, we come before you this morning, just like always, with empty hands, an empty cup. Father, we're praying that as we take this offering into the storehouse this morning, that it will be sufficient to meet the needs of the ministry to which you've set our hands here. And Father, we pray above these gifts that you would help us all to give ourselves for you, that we may reach out to those around us in this community, in this city, and reach out to others just as you welcome us. Father, help us be mindful that we are nothing without you, and it's only because of your gift that we can face eternity with a smile on our face. Father, we know that you're going to greet us with arms open wide, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Great. So pretty. All right, so we're continuing with the book of Acts. And the interesting thing about the lesson today is you get a different perspective from the Gentiles who are receiving this witness from the Jewish people who have become Christians. The Gentiles, as you know, were excluded from the Word of God, at least initially, in the beginning, as all the energy was focused in the early church on the Jewish population, to the Hebrews, and converting them first. So I've been talking about this for the last few Sundays, about this integration between the Jews and the Gentile, and how the Jewish people who came to believe in Christ started going beyond their community, which was bold for them to do that. And then now I'm going to read to you a passage which is going to show how the Gentiles truly felt accepted, and kind of give a perspective from their particular experience. So here are these words from the 11th chapter. Oh, 10th chapter, excuse me. 10th chapter, I was looking at the wrong thing here. Verse 44. So while Peter was still speaking, the word fell upon all who heard the word. The circumcised believers, that would be the Jewish people, who had come with Peter, were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they invited him to stay for several days. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, get my notes here together. I'd like to start off the message today by asking you a question. Rhetorical question, unless you just want to shout out an answer. And the question is, what was it that impressed you to first come to church? What was it that impressed you? Mary Freeman. Okay, that's good. I like that. Gary didn't hear the part about rhetorical. That's okay. No, that's good. Right. I'm not asking you when you first came to church. I'm asking you, why did you first come to church? And I would suspect that most of us came to church, or many of us came to church, because we were probably strongly encouraged to come to church by our parents or either our spouse, right? And so we started that way. Some of us may have started church out of the invitation of somebody. Said, "Hey, I'd like for you to come to church or come to Sunday school." And people wanted to be a part of that, right? And a few of us may have come to church because it was a way to get involved with the community and to network with others. According to this article I was recently reading, "Why Do People Attend Church?" by Warren Smith, the answer to our question falls in predictable columns. The first column is sermons. People come to church because they want to hear a sermon that connects to their personal lives. Sometimes we as ministers hit on that well, and sometimes we don't. So, second reason, and I wish Joseph was in here, but people come to church for children and youth programs. Right? And so that's important, and that's what we're trying to develop here at our church. And then people come to church for community involvement and volunteer opportunities, such as the great mission work that we do here at our church. But the question I am seeking is different. What was it that impressed you to first come to church? Maybe it was a sermon. Maybe you heard a powerful sermon. You went to some sort of revival. Some of you went to go see Billy Graham and thought, "I want to go to church." After that, maybe you walk down from the top of Texas Stadium on down to the floor and so forth. Perhaps you came to church because of a friend, as we mentioned before. Or perhaps you came to the church because it was a witness of God's grace. Maybe the church was open and accepting of you when you didn't expect it. Maybe the church helped you get out of a rut that you were in. Or maybe the church you church loved you no matter what kind of person you were, an unconditional love, if you will. I feel like that's what happened to me. I started going to church on a regular basis when I was a youth, and my first impression of the church is that people seemed to be very friendly and supportive. I couldn't believe it, right? Very nice people. I felt very loved by those folks that would eventually become my home church, which surprised me because the membership of that church was the age was much, much older. They were older people. And we only had very few youth, right? And so I was one of those. And they were older Anglo people. Nothing against Anglo people, but I'm just going to share with you, when I was young, I was intimidated by older Anglo people because I thought that perhaps they have these preconceived notions about people with skin color. So it was really nice that they embraced me in the way they did. And so that prompted me to come to church because I felt accepted, loved, and cared for. I recall reading a story about an English woman who was born without arms. She wrote a story about her experience, and she grew up at a time when society, and some of you remember this, but she grew up at a time when society didn't know what to do with kids who had extreme handicaps or handicap conditions. They were generally sent away to some sort of facilities that could handle persons like that, including children, of course. I get that. I understand that. Some handicap situations are very difficult for anyone to handle. But she noticed how lonely she felt in life because she was perceived differently by the normal kids. While she made friends with others like her in the facility where she was staying, she said she was very cognizant of when her group would go outside the facility to go on field trips, and she was very aware of how people would stare at her and her friends. She was aware of that. As she grew older, she said that eventually she came to see that there were people that in her life that saw her differently, caretakers, foster parents, etc., who actually loved her for who she was, a human being. These people didn't see her as less human, but as a living human being, a child of God. You see, there is a difference. As she looked back at life, she came to the conclusion that all people should know, that all human beings essentially have four needs. Your list may be shorter, maybe longer, but she makes a good point. She said the four needs are: all human beings need to love, to be loved, to be accepted, and to be respected. All human beings need to love, to be accepted, and to be respected. I'm going to ask a question of the men in the audience, maybe some girls. Do you remember when you were a child, you used to play sandlot football? You know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one that did that? I did grow up in the poor side of town over there, so these were the neighborhood boys would get together. I know that kids don't go outside anymore, but they used to. Kids used to go outside. And so the boys would gather together on some elementary field or whatever field they could find, right? And then usually those boys, you know, they would come to play football or baseball. And then the best players were often selected to be the captains of the team. So you had your two top players in the neighborhood. One was the captain of Team A, and the other one was captain of Team B, right? The rest of us guys were like cows in a pen. And then they would divide these teams up. These captains would pick people. Do you remember this, guys? Am I the only one? Sure. Okay, you're with me. Okay, I just want to make sure. So what you didn't want to happen is to be selected last. Why was that? Because you're not as talented, you can't catch a football or whatever, maybe you trip a lot or something. So you didn't want to be picked last because everybody would know and make it a judgment that you were not worthy to play the game. What you really wanted is to be picked first, right, by the captain. Because that demonstrated to everybody around in the whole neighborhood, this guy's a rock star. This guy can play. I want him on my team. You know, feeling wanted is a very, very big deal, and it does great for a person's self-esteem, because everyone wants to feel wanted and loved. Everyone wants to feel wanted and loved. Is that true? Isn't that what we read about occasionally about couples that have been together for 60 years or 70 years? What drives them? What keeps them connected? What keeps them alive, right? When they've been married for 60 years, I'm guessing they're getting up in their years. And I often hear it's because of love. As long as those couples love each other and support each other, their lives extend even further. Have you ever heard that? Is it just me? I'm just asking. So our lesson speaks in part to this issue. As the early church expanded and the gift of the Holy Spirit spread forth from town to town, some of the early followers of the faith believed that the good news, as I said earlier, was only for the Hebrews, the Jewish people of the community. After all, if you remember from the second chapter of Acts, the Holy Spirit came upon Jews from all nations. Jews first. And in the early parts of Acts, you will see that Jews were the first one to be addressed. So this is why they were surprised, the Hebrew community, those who were circumcised, were surprised when Peter baptized a large number of Gentiles, non-Jews, because there was just a natural mistrust between the two groups. Later, when Peter decided to go to Jerusalem, the Jews criticized him, and they said, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Can you believe that? This is the early church. They're setting the foundation of how we should interact with each other. It's like, you know, "Gary, how could in the world could you possibly go and, you know, eat with Ron or somebody? How could you do that?" They just didn't get along too well. Then shortly thereafter, as noted in the 8th chapter of Acts, the Spirit came upon the Samaritans. Now, the Samaritans, that was kind of a way to introduce this notion that the Hebrews were actually reaching out to the Gentile, because the Samaritans were not pure Jews. In fact, Jewish people didn't accept them. Why is that? Because they were mixed blood. And it all started with the Assyrian invasion back in 772 BC. When the Assyrians invaded, they stayed a long time, and they intermarried with the local Jews and created a whole different group of people, right? And so they were perceived, if you will, as half-breeds. And half-breeds just were not accepted fully in either community. And that was true of the Samaritans. But these were some of the first people that the early Christian church, the earliest Jewish people, reached out to. And now in our lesson, we find the gift of the Spirit that finally reached slowly to the Gentiles, not just the Samaritans, but to the Gentiles. And Peter noticed, "I truly understand," as noted in the 10th chapter, "I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." Anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. So the Gentiles now had the access to the blessings of God through the witness of Jesus Christ, where they hadn't had that before. It was exclusive, but now they were feeling that love. Remember we talked about the Ethiopian last week and how he was able to connect, right? So they were just as surprised at this decision, since they were often excluded from religious discussions and or witnesses. So the Gentiles were just as surprised. But indeed, the early evangelists were eager to spread the news of the Word of God through Jesus Christ and spread it to everyone, Jews and non-Jews alike. Thank goodness that the early church saw the light when it did, because it has impacted our church from centuries afterwards, where we feel as though, or we believe as though, or we should believe as though, is that the church is for all people, for all people. Even those who feel excluded in society. It's nice to feel wanted and selected for a team. Now, being wanted is a theme that is highlighted in this song. I expect most of you would not know this, but maybe Thomas. Thomas, focus. Are you listening to me, Thomas? I'm pointing you out. Because he's a young guy. Isn't he just a handsome young man? He's just... All right, it's Thomas. Are you familiar with the group Creed?
Yes.
Okay. With Arms Wide Open is probably their most popular song, right? Some of you are familiar with it. Others are looking at me like, who in the world is Creed? It's about the song is about the birth of a baby and how everything changes once that birth occurs. Now, pay attention to some of the intentional effort that's made to feel this child, to help this child feel welcome into the world. I'll read, I'm not going to sing this to you because I can't, but I'll read some of the lyrics. Well, I just heard the news today. It seems my life is going to change. I close my eyes, begin to pray, then tears of joy stream down my face with arms wide open under the sunlight. Welcome to this place. I'll show you everything with arms wide open, with arms wide open. Well, I don't know if I'm ready to be the man I have to be. I'll take a breath. I'll take her by my side. We stand in awe. We've created life. So that's the end of the lyrics. Now, man, I'm going to ask you again, those of you who are fathers, do you remember the birth of your first child? You're supposed to say yes. If you don't, well then, you and your wife may need to talk some more. I don't know. Because I'm sure she remembers. But you remember how it was the first time you had a baby and you just held the baby for the first time and the nurse gave it to you, whoever. So you want to hold the baby? It's like, I guess. I don't know. How are you supposed to hold this baby? And then the nurse gave it to you. And then you could just see the glow in the father's eyes. You know what I'm saying? Some of you have had grandkids and you've seen these new fathers and how they just look at this unbelievable creature and they embrace that baby and hold that baby. That's just as important as a mother's hug too, isn't it? That baby is coming into the world with arms wide open. And it's just a special, special time. You know, perhaps that's what the church needs to display to others, a welcoming word, a warm embrace, and a commitment to share God's grace with all people. Here's the ironic pathway that I'd like to share with you about this song. I used the lyrics of the song in a military funeral and a message that I delivered for a young man who had been killed in action. Knowing full well that the song I had to talk about, it was talking about the birth of a child, I sought to do a comparison, a parallel, if you will, a similar scenario, except this time I placed in the imagination of those in attendance that it was God who was welcoming someone who had passed from this earth into eternal life. The person who had passed from this earth was receiving a new birth in another place. And I use that message because I want to try and impress upon the people that God is the epitome of mercy and grace. The epitome of mercy and grace. So our message should always be as Christians that God welcomes all of his children with arms wide open. Everyone wants to feel welcome and love as demonstrated by the Gentiles and understood by Peter. Everyone wants to feel loved and welcome at all stages of life, right? Even when kids are rebellious, they may not act like they want you to love them, but they really do want to be loved, right? That's why so many of us have pets, because they love us unconditionally, right? They just love us. They don't backtalk us or anything. They don't say anything to us. They just love us despite ourselves, right? My friends, everyone wants to be accepted with arms wide open. So the question I'll leave you with today, for the message for you to contemplate on, is can we welcome others with arms wide open as God has welcomed us? Amen. All right, so let me get myself organized here. I think we are moving to a time of Holy Communion. And so during this time of communion, I'll give instructions again after I finish reading the liturgy that's for us in our United Methodist hymn book and worship books of worship. So let us receive these words. Lift up your hearts and give thanks to the Lord our God, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, you made us in your image to love and be loved. And when we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. By the suffering, death, and resurrection of your Son, only Son, Jesus Christ, you delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself for us, he took the bread. He took the bread and broke it and gave thanks and gave it to disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then afterwards, he took the cup. He gave thanks over the cup and gave it to his disciples and said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us, on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. All right, so the last time we did communion, we initiated a practice that I think works pretty well for us, and that is the ushers will take their places as they normally do, and if you're visiting with us today, when you follow the lines to the ushers, which will be two different stations right here, they will give you a cup and a piece of bread, a cup of juice and a piece of bread. Now, we would encourage you to just to come up to, after you receive that, come up to the railing here, the altar railing, and either kneel or stand and take the elements at that time, and then have the time of prayer that you may need and return back to your seats. So you would leave your cups here on the altar railing, and then once everybody is finished, well, then we'll continue on with our service. So you'll exit the outside, and then you'll go back to the inside. Is there anything else? I think I've covered it all. All right, let us prepare ourselves at this time. Who goes first? Did they just come? Thank you. Thank you for being a part of this service today. As always, we would welcome you to come up again for prayer if you feel so moved by the Holy Spirit to renew your relationship with Jesus Christ. And we would love to explain to you a little bit more about the church if you have questions about the church. And now if you'll see this word of grace from the Psalms, Psalm 18. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so that I may be saved from my enemies. Go now in peace. Amen.
Before you go, join hands with each other, and let us have our sending song.